Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat today signed a long-postponed law promising constitutional rights to his people and greater regulation of his government. It's a step towards the drastic changes in the Palestinian Authority being demanded by foreign governments, Israel, and Palestinians themselves. The next step is expected to be new elections, perhaps later this year. But few believe that elections will deliver a leadership more moderate than the one in place. From the city of Ramallah, NPR's Deborah Amos reports.
The protesters march arm in arm, a style out of the American civil rights movements of the 60s and 70s. The line stretches across a road rutted by Israeli tank tracks. A few hundred men and women, young people in jeans, some draped in scarves with the Palestinian national colors, red, black, and green. They shout in English for the benefit of Western reporters gathered to record this weekly event.
The people are upset about how things are happening now.
What do you want to change?
A lot.
It is another sign of overwhelming Palestinian anger. With the Israeli occupation, that is for sure. And anger over the extensive damage of the month-long Israeli incursion, $300 million is the estimate now. Also a target of discontent is the Palestinian Authority, led by President Yasser Arafat. Polls show an unprecedented 91% of Palestinians support democratic reform, including regular elections, an independent judiciary, and a free press. Almost as many, 83%, believe there is corruption in the Palestinian Authority. Hardly surprising when the popular name for Arafat and his old guard is Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, a longtime reform activist, openly criticizes the government.
The poor sensitivity to people's needs, bad distribution of wealth and resources, mismanagement and sometimes corruption. Yes.
Dr. Barghouti, who runs a medical relief organization in Ramallah, says his office was ransacked by Israeli soldiers who burned years of medical records and research. Barghouti keeps a picture left behind by the soldiers. It is his photograph, his face burned out. This office has become headquarters for a reform movement that attracts young Palestinians, among them Tamara Tamimi.
I feel like Yasser Arafat is sort of a patriarch, and he may listen to what his children have to say, but in the end the decision is his. And there is no system in place, a solid system that allows for people to make part in decision-making and policy-making.
Arafat's popularity is in steep decline.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha.
At Friday prayers, he's surrounded by his loyalists in his own private mosque. Sandbags are piled up around the windows. Arafat has not been out of his Ramallah compound, a sprawling campus of offices, for weeks, ever since he made a disastrous tour of the West Bank. He expected a hero's welcome after his release from a six-month siege, but few Palestinians turned out. His battered compound, the gaping holes in almost every wall, is under repair. But Palestinians are demanding another kind of rebuilding, says lawyer Diana Boutou, who works for the Palestinian government.
There's a lot of anger right now, particularly because people over the course of the 20 months haven't heard any vision, they haven't heard a strategy from him. We haven't heard any statements of leadership from him.
With nothing to show for 20 months of a Palestinian uprising and tougher times ahead, even the middle class, the moderates, are losing hope. Mahmoud Abdullah Saleh.
I have no plans. Before I had plans. Now even my wife talking about the immigration. And this is the first time, yes, because we see no end. We see no future.
Saleh is the manager of what was once Ramallah's most successful supermarket. Few people are buying anything now. At his apartment behind the store, lunch is pizza on the marble coffee table. His children play a game with toy guns, running and shooting across the thick carpets and the living room couch, Arabs against the Jews. This rough play is new and disturbing to their mother, Maha.
There's no childhood for the children, the Palestinian children. How they can feel it? With the occupation, with facing shooting everywhere, with hearing about the killing, the F-16, with the bombs.
A family debate whether to stay or to go.
She wants her kids and herself to feel some freedom. I understand that. So I am in a paradox thinking that how to stand in your land and to stand against the Israeli policy, but I am thinking about it.
To stay means surviving in a Palestinian economy that is now in ruins and enduring humiliating Israeli security checkpoints that choke off travel between Palestinian towns and separate families. New, tighter travel restrictions are slowing the rebuilding effort.
Humiliation, all the time. Checkpoints, you get humiliated all your life.
Maha's brother Ayman Sabay is in business too.
It's very difficult for us to always do business, to always send our children to schools. It's always difficult, not today, not for the last month, since the beginning of this occupation. And that actually does build up something inside you as a human being.
Sabay understands the anger that leads to suicide bombings and understands why 52% of Palestinians still back the bombers. It is all about the end of hope, he says, and frustration over the failures of past negotiations and agreements.
Now what we are trying today is to rip out our freedom. That, of course, will be not easy, and there will be price paid. And we understand that when you want to take your rights back, you cannot take them that easily. We have to fight for it.
Palestinians say they are fighting on two fronts, against Israeli occupation and for political reform. But Palestinian lawyer Diana Boutou says they don't want change imposed on them.
People in Hamas, people in Jihad, your average Palestinian on the street, everybody's been beaten and kicked, and they're now beginning to question why it's happened so long and where are we going from here. And there's a sense that we need to find a different way now.
The divisions are clear every Friday in demonstrations in Ramallah. One group chants in English. But not far behind is a competing crowd, young men, some bearded, the women in veils. They carry the green banner of Hamas, the often violent religious radicals who train and send out suicide bombers. They too are calling for reform. And if elections were held tomorrow, polls indicate the radical Islamic groups could expect at least a quarter of the vote. For NPR News, this is Deborah Amos in Ramallah in the West Bank.